This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. While Republican legislative leaders haven't unveiled an actual bill, they have unveiled a more detailed plan for balancing the state's budget. Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Tim Armstead announced those plans during a press conference yesterday. Ashton Mara has more.
The plan is based on a premise Senate President Mitch Carmichael calls novel in state government, spending only the amount of money the state actually has. That's why Republican legislative leaders say they'll put forward a budget that spends just slightly more than $4 billion for 2018, because that's how much money the state collected in 2017.
This day, to put it on the path of progress, prosperity, and responsible budgeting, finally to resolve these annual budget crises, must live within our means. That is the message that this Republican-led legislature is delivering to the people of West Virginia.
Carmichael was joined by House Speaker Tim Armstead and dozens of Republican senators and delegates as they released the details of their plans in a packed room outside the Senate chamber Monday. Their $4 billion budget will cut several of Governor Jim Justice's proposed spending increases. He presented that plan to lawmakers in the form of a $4.5 billion budget during his State of the State address in February. The legislative plan cuts his $105 million Save Our State Fund for business development, his 2% across-the-board teacher pay raise, and eliminates a $5.5 million increase in tourism advertising. Republican leaders also plan to smooth out the state's payments into the teachers' retirement program, essentially pushing some obligations down the road. They plan to eliminate subsidies to Greyhound racing and casinos and will maintain the 2% mid-year cut former Governor Earl Ray Tomlin implemented in the fall. Those, along with some other provisions and increases in the taxes on beer and liquor, will keep spending in line, according to Armstead.
Spending $4.5 billion with the idea that somehow that's going to create jobs and prosper time again. The idea that if we just spend more in government, that somehow that's going to make us prosperous is not true. It simply isn't true. It has never been backed up with facts or the history of our state.
Armstead and Carmichael also pledged Monday to do something they say has never been done in the history of the state: pass a budget by day 60, or the final day of the legislative session. They say they're making it a priority to get all of the bills that could impact the budget passed quickly, allowing the finance chairs time to pull the bill together and put it to a final vote on April 8th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
After the press conference, Governor Justice released a statement in response. He said, quote, "What we saw today from the House and Senate only kicks the can around the block. It doesn't give our classroom teachers a pay raise. It doesn't increase tourism advertising. It doesn't bring jobs, and it lacks the tools to jumpstart our economy," unquote. While the Republican leadership is releasing a first look at their budget proposal, members of the House Liberty Caucus have already introduced a budget bill of their own, closing a projected $497 million gap without any new taxes. Delegates Michael Folk and Pat McGeehan introduced a bill into the House last week. They spoke with Ashton Mara about the bill on the legislature today.
Let's start with, you know, the basics. How did you guys come up with this plan? Where did it start? Delegate, you want to start for me?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is the budget is our only constitutional duty to achieve when we come into regular session. And because of the uncertain times in recent fiscal years, we thought it was very important to prioritize a budget and balancing the budget right off the get-go. And so Delegate Folk and I, along with a couple others in our little Liberty Caucus, put our heads together and did some kitchen table budgeting, so to speak, with hundreds of pages of past budgets and a calculator.
Delegate Folk, you told me this is based on a plan that you were going to propose to the legislature last year when we were in a very long budget session.
During a special session, Pat and I looked through sort of what we did at the kitchen table this year, but with just him and I, and we came cutting back to 2015 spending levels or the governor's recommendation, whichever was lower last year. My spreadsheet had us at $160-some million in cuts last year. And we did that again this year, but again, instead using the governor's budget and then looking at comparing to what we had looked at last year.
So let's talk about some of the changes you all made starting on the base of Governor Justice's budget. You guys were able to reduce that budget by $402 million. And like I said in the introduction, no new tax increases. Talk to me about where some of those cuts come from.
Of course, the big lion's share right away is the $105 million Save Our State. We implemented the $42 million of smoothing in the teachers' pension, just like they already do in the PERS pension. We actually assumed that we can refinance the teachers' pension, just like anybody that goes out and refinances their house to improve their cash flow, because the state's had a cash flow problem for 4 years. We've had negative cash flow. Reducing in the Department of Education testing related to the Smarter Balanced, the money that was allocated to that, and the technology behind that, we reduced that significantly. Corporate welfare inside the development office. And actually, we did a one-time directive language to pull $6 million, because that $402 million is $48 million short. So $402, you add the $6 that we used directive language to grab, to put in general revenue, that gives you $408. You'll end up with a $42 million shortfall. Delegate Walters from Kanawha County has a bill to remove the exemption on managed care, which is a pass-through to the federal government, and that makes makes it up to $450 million. So we left the teacher's raise.
Yeah. Delegate, can you speak to me about the ability to save the teacher pay raise in your plan?
Basically, one of the most important things is that we went after Charleston bureaucracies first. So we reduced actual spending, actual expenditures. So we cut government by targeting Charleston bureaucracies, which we both feel have become very bloated over the last decade. So that's where we were able to come up with the savings. We cut Charleston bureaucracies by about $90 million, almost, and then from some of those savings, we were able to come up with the necessary 2% for teacher raises.
Are those savings largely in public and higher education?
No. I mean, the pain was felt across the board because, like I said, we used that concept of going back to 2015 spending levels. Literally, and to compare it to what the governor was talking about with higher education, you know, he was talking about eliminating all higher education funding except for Marshall and WVU. Ours didn't do that. Ours, as an example, and I talked to one of the board members at Shepherd, we reduced them by $200,000 as an example, which is 2% of their budget. Very small. It's actually just keeping what they'd already been given as a mid-year cut by Tomlin. So, I mean, ours is a very reasonable approach. It's a blueprint. There's never been a budget bill since I've been here, and I talk to people that have been here for 30 years, that's ever been passed as introduced. So this is just a great blueprint as a starting point.
Delegate, yeah, I would like you to speak to that issue a little bit. Yeah. Do you actually see your budget getting passed, or is this just a way to say, here is a new set of ideas?
Well, I think there would be broad support across both spectrums of the aisle for our budget. Whether it would be passed or not, I think it would be wise for Republican leadership to take it seriously because our budget's balanced right now. It's balanced. They have a blueprint, but that includes raising taxes on things like beer, and they still have to come up with somewhere between $150 and $173 million more dollars to balance the budget. So that's a big if. Ours gets the job done right now.
Again, that was Delegates Pat McGeehan and Michael Folk speaking with Ashton Mara on the legislature today. Tonight on the program, Department of Administration Secretary John Meyer and Public Employee Health Insurance Agency Director Ted Cheatham will discuss the potential budget impacts to the PEIA. That's at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, or subscribe to the podcast of the legislature today on iTunes. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:53. A winter storm warning in effect for eastern areas of the state, a winter weather advisory in effect for southern West Virginia through 2 o'clock this afternoon. Snow and gusty winds, 6 to 12 inches of snow possible in areas toward the east, little to no snow accumulation in the west. Temperatures in the 30s, snow and gusty wind tonight with lows in the teens and single digits. Mostly sunny in the west on Wednesday, snow and gusty winds continue in the east tomorrow. Temperatures in the 20s and 30s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Center for End-of-Life Care, reminding West Virginians that Healthcare Decisions Week is from April 16th through April 22nd. More information at wvendoflife.org. And by Cure Forward, an online matching service connecting cancer patients and their doctors with the latest innovations in cancer treatments found only in clinical trials. Learn more at cureforward.com.
Thousands of people in our region are in recovery from opioid addiction, a daily struggle to stay clean. The Ohio Valley Resource has the story of one such recovering addict, Wendy Kreitz. After almost 40 years of drug use, she's in a substance abuse treatment program funded by the Affordable Care Act. In the second of our reports, we learned that Kreitz has broken her ankle, an injury that could jeopardize months of sobriety. Here's part two of her story in her own words.
Our representatives are assisting other callers. Your call is important to us.
I'm going to have to call him. This is bull. I called like a week ago for this ride. They're saying they had me on their schedule, but I'm not on there. That's what they just told me. If I'm 10 minutes late, they do not see you.
Wendy, I was just calling to tell you what happened to me. I called today report and told her that I had to get to the doctor's office and Rhonda Eddie stopped what she was doing and came and got me there just on time. I'm so grateful for that. So I just wanted to let you know. You have a good day. Bye.
I've been sitting around for how many days now since I broke my ankle? No bike, no work, and I've worked since I've been 16, and it's starting to get to me. Well, it is.
Hey, babe.
You gotta go downstairs and get your book bag.
I have a sponge test Thursday.
Do you know your words? Then we'll study. Very good. One more time, steadily.
S-T-E-A-D-I-L-Y.
Very good. Closeness.
C-L-O-S-E-N-E-S-S.
Yep, very good. I mean, my daughter, when she found out I broke my foot, her first concern, she said, was, oh my God, I'm afraid Mom's going to use again. She came up and spent the day with me last Saturday. She was off. She'll probably come over.
I'm Ashley, Wendy's daughter.
My whole life, I just feel like I've been let down. And we don't want to see you die, and especially from heroin.
I can't change what I've done.
No, and I don't expect you to. All I want you to do is to never...
But I want you to know.
Please know that you love me,
and
Mom.
I am sorry. Because I did choose drugs over you.
Clearly, she needs her Suboxone.
It's working for me. And I'm afraid that if I stop taking it, that I'm going to relapse again. So what do you do? I'm praying on that, too. What do I do, Lord?
Thank God she just hit her 50th birthday. Thanking God she hit her 50th birthday.
Mommy. Happy birthday to you.
Make a wish.
Yay.
This is my first birthday sober. Except for last year because I was in jail.
It feels good.
I want to leave this world where they can be able to say, my mom was once maybe a drug addict, but she got her life straightened out. All your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
That profile of recovering addict Wendy Kreitz was produced by Glynis Board and Rebecca Kiger, who also photographed her time with Kreitz. Visit wvpublic.org to peer into Wendy's life through Kiger's lens. This story was a collaboration between 100 Days in Appalachia and the Ohio Valley Resource, which is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.